Please pray with me.
Heavenly Father, God, this morning, you put such a burning on my heart to pray that you, God, would be magnified today in this place. God, and truly you are present. God, but we want more of you. God, we want more. We want to experience more of you in our worship. We want to experience more of you in our lives. God, and we pray that we experience more of you in and through the teaching of your word today. Father, speak to us. God, show us your heart's desire for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Bill and I sat down and we talked and we said, what is the next series that we're going to be preaching on? And we felt like the next biggest challenge for us was to take a look at what our prayer lives are like. And prayer is such an important necessity in the walk of any Christian's faith. But there's a disease that's been permeating the heart of every Christian. And it's been keeping us from being able to hear God's responses to our prayers. Prayer is the active discipline and practice of presenting our requests to God. Whether we pray a prayer of repentance or a prayer of submitting a need, it's the active discipline of laying that request at the feet of God. It acknowledges that we cannot in our own power produce the desire or needed outcome of our own prayers. Most of us think that prayer is this exchange where we tell God our requests and then we just leave it to Him. It takes on more of a stance of a monologue and doesn't invite a response from the God that we pray to. I found that, at least in my prayer life, that I've been more engaged in what I call active listening, where I isolate myself physically, somewhere I can find an empty space, and starting by worshiping the Lord, I actively, in my inner stillness, enter into the presence of God. I actively try to enter into this throne room moment. Now, for me, worship gets me there. And sometimes I'll come in here and I'll put on the music. And you'll hear it because I don't shut it off in the other rooms. And I'll be in here worshiping God and praising God and telling Him how thankful I am to Him and how good He is to me. And then I'm still before Him. My purpose in prayer isn't just to throw out a prayer to God, a one-way street. My desire in my prayer life is that it becomes reciprocated through me basically shutting up and allowing in the silence God's voice to break into my heart and into my ears. So I go to my quiet place. I turn on the worship to prepare my heart and focus upon Jesus. I come before Him with a posture of humility, knowing that when I pray, I don't just want for my words and requests to leave me with no response. Because at the end of the day, what good is it when we send a request and get no response? I want us to open up to the book of Numbers, chapter 12. And we can start in verse 5. Now, the caption in this chapter is Miriam and Aaron oppose Moses. We're not going to pay attention to why they were opposing Moses or how they were opposing Moses, but I want us to listen to God's response and how He enters into this moment. He says this, "The Lord came down in a pillar of cloud." His presence was there. "He stood at the entrance to the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam." So this is the tent of meeting, right? We understand that. As they were wandering through the desert, they would set up their tabernacle, right? Now, tabernacle, you know what that means? Presence. Okay, the definition of a tabernacle is the presence. Okay, so God tabernacled with them. He was present with them. He stood at the entrance to the tent, and he summoned Aaron and Miriam. When both of them stepped forward, he said, "Listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him, I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Moses in this book, this chapter, is said to be a man that was more humble than any in the land. This is our first posture in prayer. When we come before God, Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, holy, holy, holy God, our posture needs to be one of humility. I'm going to explain some things to you about this word, humility. Okay. In other translations, they translate that word as meekness. Okay? Meekness. We hear that word in the Bible, right? God calls for his people to be meek. Okay? Now, what does meekness mean? Meekness, by definition, means quiet, gentle, easily imposed upon, and submissive. When I read this definition, the word that struck out to me the most is easily imposed upon. Are we to be easily imposed upon? The word imposed comes with such negative connotation, doesn't it? I'm watching football and my wife imposes on me to do the dishes. I don't like that word, impose. In our time of quiet solitude, we're to submit ourselves in order that God may impose his presence. Now, we look at it as a negative connotation, this word impose. I'm gonna change your mind on that quick. There's a couple different definitions for the word impose. We know the bad one, right? Is to force your will on somebody. The other definition is it's commanding of our attention. Commanding of our attention. Now, when we pray, do we humble ourselves, quiet ourselves, still ourselves in this posture that allows God to grab our attention? Or is all we do throwing up requests and not expecting a response? In Moses' meekness, God invades. God's presence comes in and speaks with Moses. The scriptures say that his presence came down in the form of a cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent, and he summoned them. Now, there is no more tabernacle that I know of. You know, you have a tabernacle church in Stanford, but we don't have the tabernacle here anymore. It's not needed because God's presence dwells all around us. One of the things that God was inspiring in my heart today was I was praying, "God, I pray for your presence in this place. I pray for your presence in this place." And God said, "Why are you praying for my presence? I'm here already. Don't pray for my presence. Pray for more of my presence." Right? Pray for a magnification of my presence. God is everywhere. And God summons us all the time. But because of this disease, our ears are shut off to hearing that God actually wants to speak to us. People talk about this hearing from God, this listening to God in the sense of the nudge, right? The nudge in your heart, right? That little conviction, that little God wink or whatever. And yeah, that's true. God speaks that way. But I believe that God wants to give us words. I believe that God wants to speak to us in a way that inspires verbal response. I have these nights of worship with our youth. And basically the whole night is dedicated to being still and listening for the quiet voice of God. And you know what? God doesn't disappoint. He shows up every single time. And it's amazing because I'm not that holy, so it's definitely not my doing. But it's our disciplining ourselves to be silent and still and seek His presence wherever we are and to open our ears to His voice. God honors this intimate exchange. He says to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam that to prophets He gives instruction and directions through dreams and visions. But because Moses is so faithful at what? What is he faithful at? He's faithful at engaging God in this deep relationship, and it allows Him to impose upon him His presence. And because of that, He speaks to Moses, it says, face to face. It develops this relational intimacy. It's amazing. This book was written in 1450 BC, a long time ago. And God still wants to and is willing to have this kind of interaction with us today. Amen. In other parts of the book of Numbers, Numbers 789, it says that when Moses entered the tent to speak with the Lord spoke to him. Moses had to actively humble himself and engage the presence of God and to have that conversation with him. He didn't go to speak to God. He went to speak with God. Our next example comes from 1 Samuel chapter 3. And we all know this piece of scripture. This is very well known. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Changed the little tone a little bit. "My son," Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This young boy sleeping in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. We understand the ark was the presence of God. The presence of God was on the ark, right? So, can you imagine this huge tabernacle? And I'll have to teach you guys all about the tabernacle another day. It's got a lot of different layers to it, but it's cool. You have your outer courts of the tabernacle, where most people hung out. The priests would hang out there. And then you have the holy place, okay, which is where people would go in and they would make the sacrifices. And then you have the Holy of Holies, where only the priest one priest once a year was allowed to go into. Okay, and that's where the presence of the Lord was. Now, the presence of the Lord, we can all imagine, did not just restrict itself to the Holy of Holies, but that there was probably this permeation of His presence all over the tabernacle, because that was His dwelling place. Right? You can't restrict the Lord, we know that. You can't confine Him to one spot. And Samuel was lying in his temple in the presence of God. So here's this boy we can say is resting in the presence of God, and then God calls to him. Samuel, no one special in particular, is under the tutelage of Eli the priest, but God chooses to speak to Samuel, this young boy. So what does God see in Samuel that drew him to speak to him? I don't know. I see nothing that would have made Samuel so special that God would have spoken to him, except that Samuel was willing to listen. He was willing to hear. He was meek enough and present for God to impose Himself upon him. A willing heart and a sense of expectancy that when we are in the presence of God, He will speak. And we see from that point on in this chapter, it goes on to say that from that point on, God was with Samuel and the nations recognized him to be a prophet of the Lord. So not only did Samuel hear God in that stillness, in that silence, but because of his dedication, his meekness, God gave him the ability to hear his voice constantly, not just in those few and precious moments. God wants our attention. He wants to speak to you. He has things that He wants to share with you. He wants us to be available. He wants us to be humble. He wants our hearts to be still before Him. He wants us not just to talk to Him, but to speak with Him. I was in prayer a few days ago, and God's been talking to me a lot. And I've been much better than normal. My wife always yells at me because I tell her, "Oh, I feel like God's saying this to me." And she said, "Well, did you write it down?" I said, "No, I didn't. I was too tired." And then I forget what it is. And then she gets mad because my wife's all about journaling. She's all about recording what God is saying. And this is what I feel God was saying. And this word, I think it's for us. And I read this at the leaders' retreat, but I feel like it pertains to us too. This is what God wants for us. He says, "I will fall upon you like rain upon a dry valley. I will bring refreshing to your dry hearts and your spiritually parched lives. I will cause you to sprout new life in my spirit like a field sprouts new life in spring. If you will make yourself to be still and lay in my presence, then I will make known to you my plans and the mysteries of my kingdom." When we hear from God, when we allow ourselves to be still before Him, there's things that happen. We hear Him speaking His truth over us. He revives our soul. He strengthens us when we're weak. He encourages us when we're discouraged. God really does speak today. And I'm not just talking about when we read His Word and we receive the encouragement from His truth. Because, yeah, that's true. It does happen. But God wants us to be still, to seek His presence, and to allow Him to impose Himself upon us. God wants to get our attention. Are we willing to be still enough to give it to Him? Right now, I want us to be silent for a few minutes. And this is the prayer. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. And just listen for that still small voice that God wants to impose upon us. If God is speaking to you in this moment, it's for a reason. God, I pray that as we enter into the discipline of stepping into your presence, God, being actively still before you, God, in opening our ears to be attentive to your voice, I pray, Father, that your Spirit would revive the dry land of our souls. God, that where there's hurt, there would be healing. God, that where there's confusion, there would be clarity. God, that where there is a lack of love, that love would be overflowing through the words that we hear you speak to us in your still small voice. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Amen.